We begin the current daf Masechet Ketubos daf Nun Hei. We begin on the fourth line down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion with the previous daf, which our Mishnah of the new Perek opened up regarding the halachas of a woman's Ketubah. Additionally, the last item that we mentioned, which is a ramification of the Tosefes that the husband adds on to the Ketubah, more than the standard Manu Masayim, we said one of the nafkaminas that come out, that we're calling it as part of the Ketubah itself, is for Ketubas Benin Dichrin. That is, the male sons of that woman collects her kesubah, not only the one Masayim, but even the additional part of the Tosefos. So the Gemara introduces a few machloikas in between the people of Pumbedisa and the people of Masa Machasya, where they had a machloikas regarding this topic of kesubah. Itma, we learned, kesubas b'nin dichrin, again, that was the last topic we left off with, regarding the kesubah of the male sons, which basically that means is that when a woman gets married, she gets a kesubah. In the kesubah is what? Her father brings into the marriage, meaning sending to his daughter into her spouse, and then the husband, what he promises to her. So the halacha is that the male sons, after their mother dies, then their father inherits them. Then when the father dies, they specifically inherit their mother's ksuba, and they don't share it with all the other paternal brothers that have different mothers. Now regarding that tanai ksuba, ksuba's benin dichrin, Pumbedisa Amri, the people of Pumbedisa said, that lo tarfa mimishabdi, that cannot be collected from what's called Nuchasa Mishabadim. Nuchasa Mishabadim means to say that if at the time that the obligation, when the ksuba was written, when they married 50 years before, so there's a lien on his estate for this obligation of the ksuba and the tanoi ksuba, everything that's inherent in that ksuba, which includes ksubas benin dichrin. Now, what that means is if, at let's say, 10 years after he got married, he sold a piece of property worth a few million. Now, when they're coming to collect their ksubas benin dichrin, 60, 70 years later, they should be able to go back to anyone that was, if there's no money from the father's estate to collect from, they could go to what's mishubed, what there was a lien on, which were things that were purchased by lekuches. On that point, Medisa said, no, they cannot collect from mishubadim. The reason being is because yartun tanan. The terminology used, as our Mishnah says, a previous Mishnah says, regarding the text that's written in the ksuba, the father, the husband, when he's marrying his wife, says, Inun yartun kesub ksuba sayach, your male son will inherit the money of your ksuba. Now, we see that it's used in the context of inheritance. And Yerusha is not something that can be tied from lekuchas. When children inherit their father, they do not collect from those things which are sold at a later point in time. And therefore, at the time of death, anything that's not in the father's estate, they do not inherit. And therefore, the same thing would apply to ksubas benin dichrin. Now, B'nei Masa Machasi Amri, they argue, they say Tarfa Mishabdi, that you could collect from the properties that there was a lien on from the time that the Ksuba was written. And the reason is because Yistvu Tanan, their terminology that they learn in the Mishnah of what the text of the Ksuba is that they will take, not Yirtun. Now, Yistvun is a terminology used for a Baal Chayiv, for a creditor. A creditor collects from the Chasim Mishabadim. Therefore, they hold that they could collect from properties that were indebted. Now, the Hilchas of the Gemara says, Allah is loy tarfim mishabdi, that the orphans, the benin dichrin, cannot collect from mishabadim because the yirtun. The text that we have in our ksuba, which is said in the Mishnah, is that they inherit and not that they are taking like a balchayv. Another related machloikis, metaltalin. If a man designates movable items, products but that are not attached to the ground, that are designated for the collection of his wife's ksuba, and then he dies, so, isnu banayu, if they're extant, they're around, it's visible, they're still here, and she's coming to collect from them for her ksuba, as her husband had designated, then she could take them and collect them b'loy shvu, without making an oath. Now, because although generally the Rabbanan say that whoever's coming to collect from the nechasim, from the estate of the orphans, can only collect with an oath, with a shvua, that's because we're concerned that maybe the one that's coming to collect has what's called tsrori atafsa, as the Gemara Babasa explains, meaning that maybe really that this person who just died had given them a bundle of money to use in case it's not paid up to collect from. Now, so therefore, you can't come collect from the orphans have. You have to take an oath that you have not collected yet, because we're concerned that maybe this person who died gave you some monies already to collect from in case. Now, however, in this case where the husband had designated metalim for her, that is the tsrori atasva. And that is exactly what he had designated for her, which are movable items. And if we know that this is where it's from, so she doesn't have to make a shvua to say that she didn't have another Tzorer Tasa, because a person is not making two Tzorer, two bundles of money to collect from. Now, however, if less no beinayu, let's say it's not around. Let's say the husband had promised his wife for the collection of a kesuba, something that's a car or something that's a movable item. Now, it's not around because let's say it was lost. So pumbedisa amri beloy shvur. So the pumbedisa say that she could still collect without an oath from the orphans, and the reason is because since the item, that movable item that he had promised her to collect the kesuba, is lost. So we don't say that he went and was, that she was given another item to collect from. And therefore, since his whole estate is responsible for a kesuba, so she could collect even from karkoi, she could collect from lands, because again, he's not making two tzorayat hasva. The one that was designated is lost now, and therefore she could go ahead and collect without a shvur. But when they must machas amr b'shvur, they say that no, you have to take an oath, because we are concerned that maybe there was an alternative place where she would collect from, and maybe she collected, and therefore she has to make a shvur. The halachas of leishvur, the halacha follows again like the bomedisa, that she does not have to take an oath. Third machlekes, yichud lo ara ba'arba matzra naha. If the husband designated for her to collect the gesuba from an area of land that was designated in its four boundaries, he delineated what the four boundaries of this land that she could collect from, which is the apaitiki, which is this is where she could collect in case anything happens, and then he dies. So then everyone agrees that she could collect b'lo yishvur without an oath, because definitely he's not giving her what's called this tsrari, this bundle of coins or whatever it is for her to collect from, because he designated that this is where she could collect from. So this area for sure she could collect without a shvur. Now b'chad metzra, if let's say he delineated that, oh, from this land, but he didn't demarcate all four sides, he only gave her one boundary. So then Pumbedisa Amri B'lei Shvur. So the Pumbedisa still say you could collect without a Shvur, because obviously he said that from here. He didn't say exactly the actual measurements of that land, where and how, and he didn't specify, but obviously he's saying from here, and there's no Tzorayi Taso. However, B'nei Masa Mechasi Amri B'Shvur, they say they know that she could only collect with an oath. The reason being is because since he didn't write for her all the four boundaries of the land, so that's not reliable for her to be able to collect from. And it's as if he did not designate the land, because what does that mean? If you only delineate one side of it, up until where and how, there's no confidence that she has that she could collect from there. And therefore, we should be concerned that maybe there was Ferrari, maybe he did end up giving her a bundle of coins to be able to rely on, and maybe that's where she ended up collecting from. And therefore, we're concerned that when she's coming to collect, it's falsehood, because she already has, so therefore they mandate a shvur. And the halacha b'lo shvur, halacha follows, like again, like the Pumbedisa, that she does not require an oath. Now another machlekes, amala edim. Let's say a man tells witnesses, kisu v'chasmu b'havale. I want you to write, I want you to sign, and I want you to give it to this person. For example, like if someone's gifting a piece of land to someone. Now, so konumune, if the witnesses acquire from the nason, from the one that's giving the gift, they acquire from him this right to go ahead and authorize to give this gift to that other person, well then then they don't have to consult with him and ask him, are you still agreeing that we should write it to him and gift it to him? The reason being is because once they make an acquisition, an actual kinyan, generally what's said many times throughout Shast, it's tam kinyan l'chsiv oimid. When there's a kinyan being made, it stands that it should be written and that the person is already agreeing to it. So you have to ask him if he changed his mind. But like Kahneman, if they didn't make an acquisition, he just told them this, write, sign, and give it to the person. So then Pumbedisa Amri Loi Tzarech L'Mluchabe. Pumbedisa still holds that you don't have to consult with him. But B'nei Masa Mechasi Amri Tzarech L'Mluchabe, they hold that you do have to consult with him. Reason being is because there was no kinyan made. And V'Hachal Sa Tzarech L'Mluchabe, regarding this, the halacha does follow like the B'nei Masa Mechasi, and you do have to consult with him since no kinyan was made. Before you go ahead and write it, you have to ask him, are you sure? Is this something you want us to do? And then if he says yes, then you go ahead and you write it and you sign it and then you give it to that person. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah of the previous staff that there was a machlekes in the Mishnah regarding the ksuba that's written for a woman. What stage in her marriage is it and what does she get? And that is, there's the standard that every almana gets a mana, every basula gets 200. Then there's taisevas that the husband, out of his own goodwill, could go ahead and write as much as he wants into the ksuba. So Tanakama said, no matter if it's the standard or if it's the tesefes, no matter if she's from Amanda from Erisin or Amanda from Nisuin, she gets everything. He said that no, if it's from Erisin, then she only gets the standard Mana Masayim, but does not get the Tosefes Ksuba. That additional part, he was only writing for her if they would end up consummating the relationship with Nesuin, and since they didn't, she doesn't get that Tosefes. Now, Itma, we learned the Machlokes. Rav and Reb Nosson arguing. One of them said, Halacha Fazer Kablas Masayim, that we evaluate that he only wanted to give her that Tosefes by Nesuin, and therefore from Erisin doesn't get it. Ben Azari, the other one said, Halacha does not fall like him. And even from Erisin, she gets the Tosefes, the additional part that he added to the Ksuba. Now the Gemara says, Tistayim, the Reb Nosson who da'om Halacha Gebelaz Ben Azari. Now it didn't say in our tradition about who was it that said which opinion. But the Gemara said, let's prove that as Reb Nosson that he said, the Halacha falls like Gebelaz Ben Azari. Because the Shemin and later Reb Nosson, because we already hear from elsewhere, Reb Nosson's opinion, the Azal Basa Umdina, that he goes based on the evaluation in something that's not specific, that Bezin could evaluate and say that generally a person that does such a thing, that this was his intention. Like for example, regarding this halacha, Blazim Nazarim, where although he wrote into the Ksuba, a Tosefes, and the woman gets a Ksuba from Erisin, but we say that a person's not going to just throw away money for nothing. Rather, his whole intention for giving her added money was for what's called Chibas Bia, the endearment of the intimacy that they're going to have when they consummate the relationship. That is what we're oimid, meaning although he wrote it from now, but we evaluate that that was probably his intention, was not to give it from now, but rather when they consummate the relationship. And therefore, that's like Rebbe Nazariah, who he says that no, the Tosefes only get from Nisuin, not from Erisin. Now, where do you find Rebbe Nosson goes after the same conceptual framework of that we evaluate a person, although it's not specific, but we can evaluate that's probably what he meant and then go with that with halacha? Because the Amr Rebbe Nosson, says, Halacha k'Reb Shimon Shazuri, he says, Halacha falls like Reb Shimon Shazuri in two areas. The first one is the one that our sugi wants, is b'mesukin. Regarding a person that he's in danger to his life. In other words, as the Gemara says, Masechtas Gittin of Samachim Abeis, that if someone's going out on a journey, he's going on a long trip. Now he says, you know, afraid that something might happen to him, so he says, Kisvu get l'ishti, write a get for my wife. Because he doesn't want her to be an aguna, stuck without him. So now, although he didn't say, give it to her, he only says, write it for her. And if you just write it and you don't give it, it has no value whatsoever. So the halacha is that yichtivu b'yitnu, they write it and they give it to her. Now, why would you do that? It's because that he's so confused and he's so busy with the trip that he's taking and he's worried and he's obviously, it's something that he's so worried about that he's writing a get for his wife. So he didn't get a chance to finish off his train of thought, what he wanted to do. But obviously, his intention was, when he says to write, it was to write it and to give it. Now, that Reb Shimon Shazuri adds on to that, that also someone that's a mesukin, meaning someone that's called in halacha gleisis, that he's in the throes of death, he's about to die, where if he just says kisvu, we are oimedaitai, we evaluate what is his true intention, is that although he only said kisvu and not to give it, but since he's in danger of life, he's not playing games. What, even just write it? Why are you writing it? Obviously, he's saying to write it, to go ahead and to give it, and because he wants his wife to avoid certain situations that he's going to die without that. So we see Reb Nosson is saying halacha is like Reb Shimon ben Shazuri, which Reb Shimon ben Shazuri goes with this halacha of Imdin Daite. So it makes sense to say that Reb Nosson is the one that says halacha is like Reb Lazar ben Azariah, because we see that he paskins la halacha, that we do go basar Imdin Daite. We evaluate that. Although, let's say here, he wrote in the Ksuba the Tosefes even from Erisin, but we evaluating, assessing that he probably wanted only from Chibas Bia, as most people would want. Just like we see, he says, Halacha like Reb Shimon ben Shazuri regarding Mesukin. Now we continue to Amud Beis, where the Gemara concludes that statement of Reb Nosson, which is, what's the second Halacha that is like Reb Shimon ben Shazuri? It's Ubetrumas Meiser Shal Demai. It's regarding the Trumas Meiser, which is what a Levi takes off from his Meiser that he gets from the Yisrael. He takes the truma to give it to the Kayin, is regarding the Trumas Meiser of Demai. Now, Demai literally is the compound of the word Demai. What is this? Which is the produce of an Ama Oretz, where ignorant people, they would take off Truma Gedayla, which is the one they give to a Kayin, but they wouldn't take off, they weren't so scrupulous, at least not all of them, regarding the tithes, the Meiser appropriate to give to the Levi. Now, the Mishnah says in Masechta is Demai, that regarding this Trumas Meister of Demai, which is, let's say there is an Ama Oretz, who has his produce. So let's say he took of Truma Gedolah, but we are concerned that maybe he didn't take off Maisa. So someone that buys Demai, which basically means produce from an Am Aretz, has to take off his own Maisa. Now, the Maisa goes to a Levi. Now, that Levi has to take off Truma from his Maisa. Now, regarding that Truma's Maisa, that if it fell back in its original place, meaning it fell back into the pile, that someone buys produce, so he goes to the marketplace, he buys from an ignorant person, he goes, okay, I know I have to take off Maisa. Takes off Maisa, this is going to go to the Levi. And then, he then takes out the Truma from the Maisa, because it has to go to a Kain. And then, by mistake, the Truma's Maisa falls into the original pile of the Demai. Now, the problem with that is now, Truma's Maisa has like halacha of Truma. When that falls into the original chulin, that makes what the para called dimua. Dimua means to say, like when there's a forbidden tarubis, there's a forbidden mixture over here. Now, a Yisrael can never eat this pile, which the whole reason why he bought it was to get that pile. Now he's just separating the appropriate tithes, because now something forbidden for him, which is truma, fell into this, which it doesn't have enough to be mevatla, to nullify it. Now, Reb Shimon Shazuri says that even during the weekday, as Rashi will shortly explain why we pick the words even in the weekday, one could ask and inquire by the ignorant person that he's buying these fruits from, and he could eat it based on the testimony of that Am Haaretz, which is if that Am Haaretz says, oh, don't worry, why are you so concerned? I took off the appropriate tithes, don't worry, before I sold it to you. So then you could rely on him. Now the reason is, although generally we do not, is because since this whole halacha of Demai is a rabbinic concern, the Rabbanan believe the Am Haaretz in a place of a loss, which is in such a type of case where the person has no recourse now. He'll never be able to eat this, and the only thing he could do with it now is sell to the Kain at a great loss, which is only the value of Truma. And since it's going to be a loss, in such a case, Reb Shimon Shazuri says that we could go ahead and believe the Am Haaretz and go based on his testimony, which is this halach of Truma's Maaseh Shel Demai, where it falls back in, then one could go ahead and eat it, and one doesn't have to be concerned, and essentially all the Truma's Maaseh was really nothing, because it already had been taken from it, the Maaseh and the Truma's. Now Rashi just points out, the reason why Reb Shimon Shazuri says, even in the weekday, is because there the Mishnah Masechta's Demai teaches that there are certain halachas, that there are differences between Shabbos and the weekday, where in Shabbos you're allowed to eat based on what the Am Haaretz says, because of the halach of Oynik Shabbos. But regarding Matzah Shabbos, you cannot eat until you take off Maaser. So for this halacha, Reb Shimon Shazuri says that even during the weekday, since it's a loss, you can go ahead and inquire by the Am Haaretz and eat based on his testimony. Which again, that's the second halacha. Reb Nosson says we follow Reb Shimon Shazuri. But again, the primary one is the first one by Mesukin, that Reb Nosson says it's like Reb Shimon Shazuri, they were Oymedaitoi. And if we see Reb Nosson is like the one who says halacha is like Reb Lazar ben Azariah, who in our Mishnah is saying that we're Oymedaitoi, that probably he only wanted to give the Tesefis after Nisuin, which is Chibis Pia, and not from Erison, and therefore she doesn't get it. Now, that the Gemara asks, so what's the understanding? So, V'Rav Loyaz L'Basa Omdina, so you're saying that Rav does not go based on that? He's the one that says that Lach is not like Rav Nazariah? But V'Idma, we learned, Matna Shchiv Mera, regarding the gift of a person on his deathbed. Now, the Lach is, regarding a Shchiv Mera, someone that's about to die, if he's gifting something to someone, he does not require a kinyan, an acquisition, which generally halacha, you need to have a kinyan. And the chacham were mesakin, that his words, when he just says it, it's like it was written and given over already. Now the reason for this is because that we don't want him to be disturbed, because he's in this very precarious situation, and if he thinks for a second that what he's saying will not be followed through because it wasn't written and given over, that might actually cause him to die. So because of that, they say, don't worry, whatever you say is going to be taken care of. Now, however, if there was a Shchiv Mera that was giving a gift, Shekasav Bakinyin, although he didn't have to, he actually went, and I want to make sure that this is really going to go to this person, let's make a Kinyin, let's make an actual acquisition. So, the Bei Rav, Mishmei de Rav Amri, and the Yeshiva of Rav, they said in the name of Rav, that Arkevei Atrei Rikshei, what this dying person is doing, he's just riding on two horses. In other words, he wants to give, he really wants to make sure this person gets this gift on his deathbed. So he's giving it two powers, two strengths. In other words, by the writing of what's called Kedekatzer V'Rami Ba'arse, when they're writing in the document that this person was ill and he was on his deathbed and all the different terminologies that's used in the Shchiv Mera by a dying person, that gives it the strength of what is only by a Shchiv Mera. The fact that they used a kinyan and they wrote that it's being done with a kinyan, which is only something that's done by a healthy person, they're giving this gift, the koyach of a matnas bari. Whereas the Shmuel, Amr Shmuel says, no, lo yadana ma'edin ba. I don't know what halacha to qualify regarding this matna shchimra, because on the one hand, he's a shchimra, but on the other hand, he's doing a kinu, which is matnas bari. Now the Gemara explains this machlik is Rav and Shmuel. Bebei Rav Mishmei de Rav Amri, in the yeshiva of Rav, they said the name of Rav, as we said before, the Arkevei Atrei Rikshu. What this person is trying to do, this dying person, he wants him to ride on two horses. What does that mean? On the one hand, the fact that he's doing a kinyan, harihi kamatnas bari, it has the authority of a gift of a healthy person. And at the same time, the fact that he's a dying person, vaharihi kamatnas shchimra, it also has the gifting of a dying person. Now, what relevance does that have? Harehi kamatnas bari, it's like the gift of a healthy person. I mean, he has the koyach of a matnas bari. Di'im amad, what it means to say that if this person ends up getting up from his deathbed, he becomes healthy, that einu yochel lachzor boi, he cannot retract from that gift. Where actually, that's not the case by a shchimra. The whole objective of a shchimra is, if he dies, if he's healthy, if he ends up healing, he wasn't going to give away all his stuff. It was only his last will. But if he survives, then actually he doesn't get gifted. Now, here he's using a kinyan, even if he gets healthy, it has the kayach of a matnas bari, of a healthy person, and that person gets it no matter what. Additionally, harei kamatnas shchimra, Rav says, it also has like a gift of a dying person, which would not apply by a matnas bari, even if the healthy person made a kinyan, because she'im omar, let's say the dying person says, halva asi, my loan that I lent that person, I want that loan, which is still extant, to be given leplaini to this person. Halva asa leplaini. His loan is transferred to that person that he wants it to go to. Now, if we were talking about a healthy person, what's called a bari, even if he made a kinyan, it wouldn't work. You can't make a kinyan because coins, money, meaning a loan, cannot be acquired with chalipin, with them making a kinyan from one to the other. It could only be done what's called agav karka, through land, as the Gemara says in Masechet Zba Metzia and Perek Azav. Now, this person who's making a kinyan, if he dies, now the one who's going to acquire it is not because of the kinyan, because that wouldn't work to give over a loan to someone else based on kinyan. It's only because of divrei shchimra, because he's a dying person, and the dying person, whatever he says goes. So therefore, Rav says when this person who's a dying person, a shchimra, goes makes a kinyan, it's because he wants to have the benefits that come with both. Now, Shmuel Amar lo yadana ma'edim. Shmuel, however, said, I don't know what halacha to give for it. And therefore, maybe has no halach of gift whatsoever. Because Shmuel says, Shema, maybe the reason why, we don't know, and therefore what's called Hamaitse Mechaber Levarai, you want to go and collect this gift, the one that it's written to, how do you know? Because maybe the reason why this dying person wrote it in the kinyan, that it should be acquired, is because Le'gomer Lahaknoisoi, because maybe he did not want for this gift to be acquired by his words as a shchimra, which they are considered written and given, el b'shtar. Maybe he wanted it only to go through a document. In other words, by its being written and being acquired like a healthy person would. Because that's generally the halacha, that when there's a kinyan being made, it's that it should be written. It's oymin l'chsiva. Now, the problem we run into that is that the document of a shchimra cannot acquire when he's still alive. Because as any dying person, his intention is not to give anything until after he dies. Now, as Rashi points out, even according to Rabbi Yaisi, Masechtas Gidnaf, Ayin Bezim et Alf, who he says, but the date of the document proves on it, and therefore you collect from the date when it was written, that Rashi explains is only by a bari, by a healthy person, who when he writes over his whole estate to his son, that it should be to his son after he dies, but his intention is that the actual property is actually given to his son from today, which is the date that's written in it. And it's only the peiros, because the father still wants to use it, the utility is only after he dies. But this shchimra, his intention is not to give anything when he's still alive, it's only because he knows he's dying. Now the problem that you run into is that because when he finally does die, which is only when he wants it to be given, is then he cannot acquire anything to the person that he wants to gift it to, because he's not around anymore to give it to the person. As Shmuel says, v'ein shtar la'achar misa, this document of a kinyan cannot work after he dies. But he's a shchimra. He only wants it to take effect after he dies. And moreover, maybe, Shmuel says, He didn't want it to work as a Shechev Merah, which even after he dies, then it could work. That's the Takanas Chachamim. But he didn't want it to work that way. And how do I know he didn't want it to work that way? At least maybe. Is because he says, make a Kenyan. What do you need a Kenyan for? You have the Matan Shechev Merah that you don't have to write anything. You don't have to make a Kenyan. Oh, maybe he only wanted to be only through a Shtar. And only through a Shtar, but he also only wanted it after he dies. But ain't Shtar Lachamisa. You can't make a Kenyan from a dead person. So Shmuel says that maybe you can't get anything because we don't know what was this person's intention. Now, but one thing we see from Rav's opinion is that obviously Rav does go Basar Umdina. He does go based on our evaluation that we assess this person, that why is he doing this? He's on his death, but he's not playing games. He obviously wants to give two kaiches. He really wants to make sure this person gets the gift. So although he wasn't explicit, still Rav lets the person who the gift was written to go ahead and collect. Now, how do you know? Shmuel's right. You don't know for sure that the person wanted it to be the best of both. Maybe it's going to have the worst of both, and therefore the guy doesn't get anything because Einstein Lachamisa. So therefore the Gemara asks, so fine, you proved that Reb Nosson is like Reb Elazar ben Azariah because he holds Eimedaita. But the problem is Rav also holds Eimedaita, as we see clearly from this halacha, that we're evaluating that this is probably what the dying person wanted. So how can we say he's the one that does not say like Reb Elazar ben Azariah? So now the Gemara continues on top of Nun Vav Min Aleph. Elo Tarvaya, Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. Both Rav and Reb Nosson, as we just proved, Asli Basa Umdina, they go based on what we assess is this person's intention. Now, therefore, Manda Amah Halacha, one of the two Amirom that says Halacha is like Reb Elazar ben Azariah, so Shabbat, that makes sense. We reassess that probably he only wanted to give her the additional part of the Ksuba when they consummate the relationship, when they have chup, when they have the Chibas Bia, the endearment that comes with physical intimacy. Now, by Erison, you don't have that, and therefore Reb Elazar ben Azariah says that you do not get the Tosefos. But Manda Amah ain't Halacha, but even according to the other Manda Amah, either Rav or Reb Nosson that says Halacha does not follow Reb Elazar ben Azariah, and that a woman does get the Tosefos even from Erison, Hochanami Umdenaitu, because and that's not a contradiction, that Amari would hold that it's because we're assessing the person's intention. Now, because that Manda Amar holds that the assessment is not like the way we thought up until now, that definitely a person would only want to give this additional part when they finally consummates the relationship with Chibas Bia, but rather we assess that he would even give the Tosefos even from Erison. Why? Because we evaluate him, that why is he adding more money? Because of the closeness that they have in their relationship, so much so that they got engaged. And even from Erison, there's a closeness of a relationship, which because of that intimacy that they have, not physical intimacy, which is only with Chibas Bia, which is like Reb Elazar ben Azariah, but this Amara says that even if we're Oimedaita, Halacha still does not fall like Reb Elazar ben Azariah, but rather like the Tanna Kamma, that even from Erison, the woman will get the Tosefos because he's writing her even the additional part, even for just the closeness of that emotional connection they have, which is even from Erison, and therefore she'll get the Tosefos even from Erison.